we continue in our series, A Traditional Christmas. And the focus of this series, once again, is simply to actually look at the stuff that we do in celebrating Christ that actually has nothing really biblically to do with things. I mean, it's kind of funny, but there is so much that we do that is not in the Bible. It's kind of scary. So let's just take a look at those things and go from there. One of those things that we're looking at this week in particular is the anticipation of the Christmas calendar. Now, this seems kind of odd, the way it's phrased, but I mean it exactly the way it's phrased. The anticipation of the Christmas calendar. People are ready, not just for Christmas Day, but for the days leading to Christmas. It seems like, especially with marketers, you totally skip right past Halloween and Thanksgiving, and it's Christmas time, right after back to school. Which, by the way, that happens way too early, too. There's an anticipation. In retail, they love Christmas. But if we're to be honest, most of us do, too. There's something that gets in us, and we want to hear Christmas songs, and we want to be more active in our faith. We want to be getting this Christmas spirit. Part of that, I believe, is the actual calendar. The actual calendar of what we do. We've got many things that we look forward to that happen in the Christmas season. We get together with loved ones, or we have time of exchanging gifts. We see all sorts of lights and beautiful decorations around town. People just seem to be a little bit more charitable. We look for ways in which we can help people out. Jimmy James shaking your head no. Goodness. There's a calendar of events that comes and goes. Christmas has all sorts of programs that are tied with it. This church in particular has 3 Christmas programs. By the way, the second of which, if you missed first service with a Christmas musical, we're doing it again at 6:30 tonight. You're welcome to come out for that and for refreshments. It's a very nice time. But we have these programs and such. We've got nativity scenes outside. It's just really cool, and we look forward to these specific dates, times in which we get together and we go do stuff. There's one calendar, in fact, it's the Advent calendar. The Advent calendar is a calendar where you actually look forward to the coming of Christ. How many are familiar with this on some level? Okay, you basically count down to Christmas. Each part of it also is supposed to tell a little bit of the piece of the story of Christ. Many more liturgical denominations have this. We got one, honestly. I think it's because it comes with chocolate. But anyway. Hey, you know Debbie. Anyway. So as we, it's her fault, by the way. As we count down, going to Christmas time, we count down with anticipation of celebrating Christ's birth. It's a calendar. I want to take a look, I'd ask you to do so too, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and following. As we look at the birth story of Christ, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register." Verse 4. "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, a time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen or had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There is a great sense of joy in this passage, and eagerness and anticipation. As we look through this passage, we can't help but notice. We can't help but notice this thing that happened, which perhaps now we take too for granted. It is almost too cliche. Was something never before seen. We see that David, the king, and in the lineage from the great one that was the king of the nation of Israel back in the day, from that lineage of this great king, would be one. And that one from that lineage would return back to that town of David. Anticipation. Mary, expecting the child, still treasured this child, despite the public ridicule that would have accompanied her by having a child out of wedlock in the Jewish culture. And Joseph, the man who didn't exactly understand what was going on except by that which an angel told him, faithfully took care of Mary and the child. We see the shepherds who, when being faced at the point of being terrified by the angels, said, "We have to see this." And they hurried off and they looked for her. There's an anticipation that comes with the Christ child. When we look at that anticipation, that eagerness, I think we have to ask the question, what helps us become eager for Christmas to come? Unfortunately, we look at some possible answers. Stuff like time with family. It's a good notion, but it's not exactly where we're looking. There's also Christmas music, something that's fun and joyous. I was listening to it this morning, shower time, getting ready for church. I had it going on in the background. Why? Because there's something that makes us joyous, eager for Christmas to come when we listen to Christmas music. But that's not it either. There's the hope of getting presents, things that we like, people understanding us, appreciating us. That's not it either. There's even the decorations where you see the beauty and the joy, and it just fills you up in the beginnings of a stark winter. But that's not it either. Galatians 5:5, I think, is it. Galatians 5:5 says, "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. By faith, we await. By faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. That child, that Christ child that came, would be our righteousness. It's because of our faith in Christ that we are eager. The other stuff is really cool stuff, don't get me wrong. But without faith in Christ, all this is for naught. Amen. Maybe cool, maybe fun. But we're missing the point if we miss the fact that Jesus was sent to be our righteousness. Are we eager? Are we eager? I pray we're eager. Take a look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. If you're taking a look at the Pew Bibles, it would be page 825. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, just take the one in the pew in front of you. It's a gift from us to you. Paul says this concerning eagerness. Look at this passage as a whole here. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet having taken hold of it." Speaking of spiritual perfection. He says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He was eager to be with his God. He was eager to press on. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. His faith was a part of that eagerness. And it changes us. It makes a difference in us. We're no longer what we once were. We have a big picture that God is calling us towards a life of righteousness. And not that we're perfect or we're awesome. God works in us and through us. He says in verse 17, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as often as I have told you before now, and say again, even with tears, many live as enemies to the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Boy, that speaks of a secular Christmas time. But he says, our citizenship is where? In heaven. Because of that little child. Because of accepting that little child. He said, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. By the way, that's an advent of the coming again. For just as Jesus came once, he will come a second time. But this time, it'll be a whole lot different. Are we eager? Are we eager to retell of Christ's birth? Are we eager to retell of Christ's birth? Are we able to give the testimony about why we believe what we believe? Are you able to articulate to somebody why you believe? If not, I challenge you to work on that. Work on a statement. Work on some way of questioning and talking to people you trust. Say, if I say this, how does that come across? And you don't have to be a jerk about it. And guess what? If you start out, people may start being able to push you in a corner and debate with you, and you may not have all the answers. That's okay. But get ready to tell the story of Christ's birth. And by the way, with that is the purpose of his birth, which eventually was his death and resurrection. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, the passage says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us.' And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Are we eager to tell that story? Are we also eager, secondly, to look the part? To live as Christians means to be different. Now, you don't want to be different in a bad way. You want to be different in a way that when people look at you, they notice that you're living in a different manner. Are you ready to look the part? Are you so eager to tell people about Christ that you live as a Christian? Thirdly, are you eager to give him a place in our lives? The hard thing about being a Christian is the total submission to God in every area of our lives. We don't hold one piece back from God. We don't relegate him to one area of our lives. He's not in a compartment. We don't stick him in the den. He's not on a couple of days on the calendar. He is God. Do we give him that place in our lives? By the way, that place ought to be first and foremost. Fourthly, are we eager to be a place in his story, to be used by him? It's an intimidating thought that God could actually use us. Dare we even think it? Dare we imagine being someone who could bring someone to Christ, that could encourage one another? Dare we actually think that we are so valuable? Not just he would die for us, but that we would be leaders for him in the lives that we lead. Are we a part of his story? That leads me to my final question here. If not, how can we authentically become more eager? How many of you have ever gotten to a Christmas season and you really just didn't feel Christmassy? Some of you have been there. Yeah. You just don't quite have that feel, you know? That Christmas spirit, as they call it. How do you get that if you don't have that? Any idea? Yeah. It's kind of hard. You just have it or you don't, right? Well, I think with the eagerness of being the Christian that God calls us to be, I think there are some things that we can do to help us with that. First of all is time. Time. As we turn things over to God in our lives, as we allow Him to be a place in our life and give our lives to be a place in His, time is a factor. Now, if you are not attending church regularly, we would love to have you. If we can help you, we would love to help you. But the reason for church is to help each other out in our faith. I pray that there's a way that you can do that here. If not, let us know. Talk to us. But you have to set aside the time to devote towards Christ and sharpening yourself. And the more successful you are at life and faith, the more eager you get. No one likes going into a losing scenario time after time after time. The only way you get from a losing scenario to a winning scenario is to jump in, to be involved. Hone your faith. Have time for church on Sunday mornings. Don't come last minute. Actually, get here a little bit early. Talk to people. Get to know people. Amen. Don't leave at the last second of the service. Tarry a little bit. Wait a little bit. Spend 15 minutes getting to know people. Sunday school. Oh, my. Not that. We've got donut and coffee time downstairs before it. Come for that. But it's so early. I know 10 o'clock is just a bear, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be here opening the place with Dave and me. And Jeff Orr. But the fact is, we got to give God our time. We also have to give something, and this is interesting, music. Just as music helps us get in the Christmas spirit, I think worshiping and being in an environment of worship helps us become more authentically eager. What are you listening to? Does it help you worship? Okay. Now, if we're talking about Christmas, okay, Christmas songs make sense. What about the rest of the year? Are you listening to stuff with Christian themes to it? Are you honing yourself with the stuff that is in your life? Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm not really a fan of Christian music. I think our praise team does a pretty good job, and they get songs that they find from Christian music stuff. If you like the harder stuff, I can help you there. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, I want to say we also need to give to others. Thirdly, giving to others. Nothing helps you become more eager like serving other people, being generous of your time, your finances, your elbow grease as you work and help people out. That goes with our fourth one, serving and encouraging. Build each other up. Go out into the community. Get involved. And in doing so, you get to the fifth one, displaying Christ. You actually live as Christ. You're the light that shines. You're the city on a hill. So church, what do we do? I'm going to close with a passage that actually speaks to the advent of the second kind, Christ coming back. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus sent a message to the church at Laodicea. He said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Church, are you eager to be in the presence of God?